following program is brought to you in living color.
To Homeland! Stop! In our country we have great tradition. Change glasses.
Change glasses.
Yes, of course.
To Homeland!
Stop!
In our country, we have a custom. We always change glasses, too.
Now, everybody drink.
It's The Wine Crush, the show that's all about the grape and the lifestyle it creates. Now, here's your host for The Wine Crush, Laura Lawson.
People like this are a menace to decent society.
Welcome to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, your favorite Chardonnay-sipping diva, and you are listening to the show that's all about the grape in all its glory, all the vine, all the time, everything you ever wanted to know about wine but were afraid to ask. That's us. That's why we're here. We are your media font of information. And we're having fun today. At least some of us in the studio are. I noticed Kent is over there in the booth yawning. Kent, I have not even started the show, and you're already yawning.
I've been up since 5 o'clock this morning. I mean, you know.
Well, whose fault is that? At least look like you're enthused. It'll look like you're involved. There we go. That's much better.
Is that good?
That's kind of creepy. I wish we had a picture here. We could post this on Facebook so everyone could see.
I wish people could see you because they've changed the lighting in the studio, and you look like you have a halo.
I always have a halo. I am a veritable angel among my compatriots. So at least now it's showing. It's nice to know my finer points.
Let's see if it shows on radio.
Yeah, good luck with that. Well, I don't know. I don't see any French outside, and I don't think we'll have to threaten anybody today, so it may be a good day.
There are loud trucks out again today.
Oh, good. So, yes, we're going to sound like we're being demolished once again. I promise it's not someone from the French embassy banging on the window saying, let me at her, let me at her. So, we should be a peaceful, quiet, great show. Outside of the fact that we are definitely turning water into wine today on The Wine Crush. It has been raining nonstop, I believe, for about 6 days. We're thinking about building an ark, so we might as well take refuge in the studio, drink a little bit, talk about wine, and have some fun. I've got help doing that today. We have a longtime guest, Paul Grigut. He is the Pacific Northwest editor for Wine Enthusiast Magazine. He is also the author of Washington Wines and Wineries, The Essential Guide. We have spoken with Paul before. We're going to talk a little bit about wine media, about print, about advertising, about a little bit going on anytime you read or hear about wine, how that's changing and how much the rest of us are paying attention to it. Of course, if Kent is any indication to how much we're paying attention to it.
We're in big trouble.
Yes, we're in big trouble and everyone's yawning their way through it. So today we're just going to relax. We're going to have fun. That is what this is all about. So we're throwing the theme out the window. We're going to take your calls. We're going to take your emails and we're going to have a nice time. Speaking of which, call us 877-4CRUSH1 or email us lauralawson@winecrush.com. We want to know what's on your mind. We want to know what kind of wine questions. You know, we're going to talk to Paul today about changes in wine media. How does that affect how you're learning? How does that affect the questions you're asking? Are you getting smarter? That's what we want to know. For you people learning about wine, are you paying attention? Do you have less questions? Are you going to more online resources? Tell me, what is it that you want to know that you don't? Or are you just really not interested as a whole and just care about the glass in front of you and whether or not it's full or empty? That's what we're interested in here. You know, as long as we're on that topic, it is fascinating to look. A new report came out, and it says U.S. drinking rate edges up slightly to 25-year high. Now, it always fascinates me when I look at these reports and see these different statistics. 25 years ago, we weren't drinking near as much as we were. So let's see. It's 2010. Kent, help me with my math skills. So in 1980...
25 years ago, 85.
85. We drank more in 1985. Wasn't that the Reagan years? Was there a reason? Were we celebrating back then?
I thought we were at an all-time high now. So does that mean we're drinking
A 25-year high.
Okay.
So that means that we might be equal to what we were drinking in 85.
Okay.
So what was so special about 1985, and why did it take us so long to catch back up?
It was the 80s. Were we still discoing a little bit then?
I don't think so. Were we still partying
a little more?
Why are you asking me, Kent? Why in God's name are you asking me? So, of course, the question becomes, what happened in 86 to make us quit drinking? So, see, this is fascinating. This is why I love these studies. You, however, are bored to tears trying to figure out. But no, you're sitting here as you're driving along and you're thinking, wow, what did happen in 86? But yes, the U.S. drinking rate edges up. We are 25-year high. Now, remember, we were all proud of ourselves back in 2005, 2006 that we're number one. people drink more wine than anything else. Yes, not so much anymore. 41% of the drinkers drink beer. 32% of the drinkers drink wine. Of course, they say 21% of the drinkers drink liquor. Now, here's my question. Yes, I am a wine drinker. I admit that freely. Obviously, you pay attention to the fact I'm a wine drinker because you are tuning in. But I do drink liquor. I drink copious amounts of scotch, and I find wine tolerable because I do occasionally drink vodka. Does that mean I'm a liquor drinker or am I a wine drinker? Now, if it's 110 degrees outside and I've gotten stuck mowing the yard, I'm definitely going to reach for a beer. So does this mean I'm a beer drinker? Am I a wine drinker? Am I a liquor drinker? Am I just a drunk? Where does all this add up and how does it come out? I'd love to know. I'd love to see the study. How come I never get invited to be part of these studies? Because I want to know if they're mutually exclusive.
If they did it with you, though, it would skew the results horribly. So,
you know, actually, it is funny. I think we did a show about a year and a half ago where some poor marketing company got a hold of me just on a random fluke to ask wine questions. And they were questions, believe it or not, it were French-based wine questions. And the caller, because of my background, I love messing with people who call my house. And so if you're going to call my house and ask for a survey, I'm going to have a field day with it. Well, this poor guy called and just kept asking all these questions about French wine. And of course, I kept answering them. And he kept telling me over the phone he was seeing screens he had never seen before. So you hear that part of it, but it would have been fun to see the raw data on it. Now, after he took that survey, does that mean I'm a French wine drinker because I can answer all those questions? See, this is why I love marketing. This is why I love quoting these statistics.
It's why I don't do surveys. I won't do them.
Personally, you won't write them or you
won't
take them?
I will not do them because I do not know how they're going to use the data.
But aren't you anonymous?
It doesn't matter.
So what, you just
if
hang up?
If they're going to use me to skew a study a certain way, see, you know, it's like they say, what is it? Figures lie, liars figure.
I hadn't heard that one in a while. That figures. No telling what. Hey, so for all of you, 877-4-CRUSH-1. Call and ask for Kent. He'd love to take your survey. We need to get in practice. We need to skew all your data. We'll
I won't
go from do there.
It.
We'll see about won't. We will see about won't. But laughing seriously, we're drinking more. We aren't necessarily drinking more wine. But I want to know if you're in the same boat I am. If someone called you and asked you, you know, are you a drinker? And you said yes. And people asked you if you drink wine and you said yes. Does that mean you're exclusively a wine drinker? Call and give me your thoughts. 877-4-CRUSH-1. Or email me, Laura Lawson at winecrush.com or info@winecrush.com if you don't want me to see your email address. Now, I warned y'all last week, the Wine Crush email comes to my BlackBerry, which means y'all can keep me totally entertained if you keep sending me emails. But just remember, I'm capable of capturing at that point, and I will write you back and haunt you. Now, we do have wine recommendations. For those of you who are wine drinkers out there, of course, that means you don't drink beer. That means you don't drink liquor. We do have wine recommendations. My first recommendation is Chimney Rock Élevage Blanc. For those of you who have been around the wine world for a while, Chimney Rock, to me, is a fascinating property. They tore up a perfectly good golf course to put vineyards in. Now, the way I have played golf lately, my vote is to tear up every single golf course in the country and put vineyards or palm trees or peaches, put an orchard back. We definitely don't need any more golf courses. But Chimney Rock, part of its property was actually a golf course. And if you think that Chimney Rock is on the Silverado Trail in Napa Valley, who wants a golf course there anyway? You just need to go and drink and relax and have fun. But they did a Fumé Blanc, and they have just recently started doing it again. It was a great Sauvignon Blanc. Well, they quit doing the Fumé Blanc because they had lower productions, and they started doing this Élevage Blanc. Now, this is a white blend. It's Sauvignon Blanc and Sauvignon Gris, and it has that great refreshing palate we all love this time of year. But here's what's different. A lot of times we'll sit back, we'll talk about the white having great apricot flavors, almond flavors, peach flavors, but a lot of time it's just clean, it's refreshing. You want to chill it down to as close to 32 degrees as you can. This wine has a backbone. This one can stand up on its own. Once you get through the apricot and you get through the peaches and you get through that stone fruit, you get great caramel, you get great vanilla. So it is a wine that has some testosterone to it. It is great for grilled items. It will stand up to anything this summer. So it's a white with attitude that you definitely need to try. That is, once again, the Chimney Rock Élevage Blanc. Now for reds, I'm back in my traditional sense. It's funny, I've had people over for the last 2 weeks, and they know I'm supposed to be this big wine expert. You should see their horrified expression when I send them outside to what doubles as my wine cooler, which is actually a 1986 avocado refrigerator that's out in a storage shed. But that's where I've been keeping all my red wines. So they're coming into the house at 62, 58, 40 degrees, and they just have this horrified look on their face. But yes, I'm back to Cabernets, and I like them chilled. Now, granted, you can't chill them all the way down, but doing Bennett Lane Cabernet is an exceptional experience this summer. It's from Napa Valley, 2006. Great cherry, great chocolate, very much classic Napa. Go find it. Bennett Lane Cabernet. All right, we're going to take a small break right here, but when we return, we're going to have Paul join us and talk a little bit about wine in the media and what we're doing about it.
Let us wine and dine you. Visit GoPRN.com and enter the Sonoma Wine and Dine Sweepstakes. You could be the winner of a trip for two to Infineon Raceway for the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series race in June 2011. You'll also win two suite tickets, Gold Garage and Pit Passes to the race, plus two round-trip airline tickets, four-night hotel accommodations, a helicopter ride to and from the track, transportation to and from the airport and for the wine tour, dinner in San Francisco, and $5,000 cash. For official rules and to enter, head to GoPRN.com and click on the banner.
Are you feeling the credit card crunch? Increasing prices and the cost of credit are stretching budgets and preventing people just like you from getting ahead or just catching up with their debts. American Financial Solutions is a nonprofit organization that can help you get back on track with your debts and strengthen your financial situation. We offer a customized debt management plan, not a consolidation loan or a settlement, but a renegotiation of terms with your current creditors. You could benefit from lower interest rates, reduced fees, finally having your past due accounts brought back into current status, and a single monthly payment. So if you're falling behind on your credit cards, medical bills, or accounts and collections, get your current statements together and give American Financial Solutions a call now.
Here's the number for your free debt analysis. 800-793-2153. 800-793-2153. 800-793-2153. Not all services available in all states. Terms and conditions apply.
Let us wine and dine you. Visit GoPRN.com and enter the Sonoma Wine and Dine Sweepstakes. You could be the winner of a trip for two to Infineon Raceway for the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series race in June 2011. You'll also win two suite tickets, Gold Garage and Pit Passes to the race, plus two round-trip airline tickets, four-night hotel accommodations, a helicopter ride to and from the track, transportation to and from the airport and for the wine tour, dinner in San Francisco, and $5,000 cash. For official rules and to enter, head to GoPRN.com and click on the banner.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I might look like an adult, like a person who could possibly be a parent, but I have no idea how to talk like one. And everyone knows that if you want to be a parent, you have to sound good when you say things like, "Don't make me turn this car around," or "Because I said so," or "Don't make me come back there." I don't even really know what those things mean, but I know that I actually believed my parents when they said them to me. How did they manage to sound so convincing? Here we go. "Don't make me come back there." Ugh, no, that's not tough enough at all. Kids can sense weakness. "Don't make me come back there." Ooh, yeah, that's better. In fact, that kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to listen to you practice your dad voice. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Honey, put this on top of the minivan.
We're only going for 2 weeks. You want me to back the kitchen sink, too?
Well, is there room?
Hey, you guys, you going on vacation?
Who's that?
I don't know.
Because we're planning on robbing your house tonight.
All right, I'm calling an alarm service.
Wouldn't it be great if you could be warned of life's risks? If you have diabetes, you can. There's a simple blood test called A1C that can help measure your risk of complications from diabetes. Why is it important? Because more than 600 people every day die from diabetes and its complications. If your A1C is above 7, your doctor can show you how to lower it. If you have diabetes, know your risk. Know your A1C. Ask your doctor, or for more information, go to www.diabetesa1c.org or call 1-877-TEST-A1C. Brought to you by the American Diabetes Association, Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation International, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. And Kent decided to consume half a bottle of Chardonnay, so we're having a small amount of technical difficulties in the booth, so we will have to get Paul in a following segment. Kent, how we feeling, honey?
You know, you can villainize me with just the flick of your imagination there, Kent.
It's amazing. Well, my halo's helping, remember? You're the one that said I have a halo. You set the target on your back.
You have a new glow about you.
Exactly. Hey, something I did not get to in the last segment before I was rudely interrupted by those commercials is something else this report said, and this fascinated me. As it goes on to talk about the people that were drinking more, that were a 25-year high, that people are drinking more beer, but it goes on to say one of the most significant predictors of alcohol consumption is church attendance. Those who seldom or never attend church are substantially more likely than more frequent church attenders to say that they drink.
Huh.
Now, I don't really – why is that relevant? Why was that a factor in everything?
I guess it's probably your religious background is how you feel about alcohol sometimes.
Well, I'm probably going to cause a great amount of problem. Maybe the whole phone board will light up and we'll never get to Paul. But
yeah.
Here's my question. If you're Catholic and you're going to church – and you're actually taking communion, doesn't that make everybody a wine drinker?
Not everybody. In some churches, it's grape juice.
Okay.
Yeah. See, I got my introduction to wine through church.
Was that a good thing? Oh, tell me you weren't the altar boy back there drinking the communal wine.
I was on the committee to clean the glasses that had not been used at the end of the service.
Oh, okay.
Let's just leave it at that.
We're talking about halos today. We're going to bring it all up
front. It was homemade. It was really good stuff.
Yeah. Oh, my God, Kent. Only Kent can go to a place where they had homemade communal wine.
It was great.
I'd love to hear those stories. But, no, seriously, to our listeners, I want to know whether church attendance or not, does that affect? If I decide not to go to Mass today, am I going to drink more later in the day? Mm. That makes no sense to me. Once again, I love playing with these marketing gimmicks. I love playing with these surveys. So I'm not picking on the religious or I'm not picking on those that don't go to church. I just don't understand the correlation here. So
okay,
go figure.
All right.
All right. Well, since I can't entertain myself that long, we occasionally do have to take a phone call. And we love people who call into the wine line and hear Kent's soothing voice. Please leave a call. Right now, someone was brave enough to do that. We have Mike from Georgia. Mike, welcome to the Wine Crush.
I enjoy listening to your show, but I do have a question. You said on your show previously that it's better to order wine by the bottle and not by the glass, because it guarantees freshness that way. Is there any way to tell the freshness of the wine if you order it by the glass?
Well, Mike, this sounds very condescending, but yes, if you know the wine you're drinking, you will know instantly when you have the glass, when you put it up to your nose, does it smell like the wine you like? Seriously, does it smell like wine you've had before? Does it smell funky? Does it smell tired? Now, if you don't know anything about wine and you have no way of telling, there are certain telltale signs you can tell when a wine is old. Now, these are not 100% guaranteed. So I do not want wine glasses sent back all across the United States because people say Laura said so. But something to think about. If you order a Sauvignon Blanc or you order a Chardonnay, and when it comes out, it's a little darker than you would expect it to be. Say the Chardonnay is looking more like a cardboard color, or the Sauvignon Blanc is looking more like a Chardonnay color. This could be a sign that the wine has been open for a while. If you put your nose into the glass and you smell it, and it smells musty, if it smells corky, now granted you could be just drinking Burgundy, but that's neither here nor there. If you put your nose in the glass and it just smells off, that could be a sign. If you're drinking a Sauvignon Blanc and you take a big sip of it and it doesn't have great acid to it, if it tastes kind of flat on your tongue, that could be a sign. But ultimately, Mike, there is no guarantee that what you're getting is fresh product. For those of you who take your wine by the glass seriously, here's the advice I give you. I follow it myself and it drives my husband insane. Sit at the bar. If you're going to sit and just have a couple glasses of wine, sit at the bar and watch the bottle they pour it out of. If the bottle is only a third full, then chances are the wine could have been open for a while. Keep in mind, you can also insist that they open a fresh bottle. Now, this tends to aggravate servers if it's in the middle of a busy restaurant, say it's 7:30 on a Saturday night, and you want a glass of white Zinfandel, and you say, "Can you open a fresh bottle, please?" Good luck with that one. But in all sincerity, if you're going to sit at the bar and you're looking at something and there is maybe an inch and a half left in the bottle, always ask, you know, hey, listen, would you mind opening a fresh bottle? Would you mind doing this? Would you mind doing that? I am the queen of sending wine back. I embarrass friends. I embarrass relatives. I embarrass employees of the Wine Crush. I have made people want to crawl under tables by going out drinking with me, because if I'm going to pay for a glass of wine, I absolutely insist on it being good product. Now, I have a luxury most people don't. Chances are I have tasted the wine I'm ordering. I know what it's supposed to taste like. I wish I had a dollar for every time my husband had looked at me and said, just shut up and drink it. Do not send it back. Do not complain. Do not say one word.
Are there any health regulations? In other words, is a restaurant forced to get rid of a bottle of wine once it's been open for so long?
No, they're not. No. And that's a very, very good point. Now, you figure it's alcoholic, so you were really going to – it's not like salmonella or something else can grow in there. But no, there are no health regulations that say a bottle has to be thrown away after a certain time. But no, Mike, best advice, go to a well-traveled restaurant, go to one with a great by-the-glass list, sit at the bar and watch them pour. And chances are you're going to get a fresh glass. And if they have a strong by-the-glass program, they're going to be open. If you smell the wine and say, hey, it doesn't really taste right, they're going to be willing to take it back. They're going to try it again. Now, I will tell you this. If you go through the same glass of wine from the same varietal three times, find something else. Chances are you just don't like the wine. It's just a thought, just a suggestion to help out all my restaurant friends. Well, Mike, I hope that helps you out. I hope that gives you some ideas. And certainly it does not give you open rein to torment your wait staff, but it should give you some things to look for when you're going in. And yes, as far as my bottle comment, that is the only 100% way to guarantee you're going to get a fresh glass of wine. Is it always the best option? No, but it is the only guarantee. And even then, I shouldn't have used the word guarantee, because there's always a chance it's corked. Yes, we're here to make life difficult today. That is our job here at The Crush. So if those of you with questions, 877-4-CRUSH-1, or email me at lauralawson@winecrush.com. We're going to take a small break right here, but when we return, more calls, more emails from you, our wonderful listeners.
Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway announcement.
Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, against the better judgment of our management team, we're going to prove to you once and for all that Proactiv works. So if you want to try it, give us a call, because we're going to let a million people try Proactiv and receive our legendary refining face mask free if you call right now.
You heard it. Be one of the first callers and you'll receive a 60-day trial of Proactiv Solution risk-free, plus a free refining face mask when you call 1-800-727-8614.
Proactiv's combination therapy system uses prescription-grade acne medicine and soothing spa-quality botanicals to create a powerful acne-fighting system. It's so effective, it transforms blemishes and bumps into clear, smooth skin.
You can have beautiful, healthy-looking skin. Put us to the test and we'll prove it. Get your risk-free 60-day trial plus a free refining face mask. Call toll-free now, 1-800-727-8614. That's 1-800-727-8614.
What would you do if you had to choose between the buffalo and the giraffes, between a flower or an elephant? What would you choose? What if you had to decide between a 100-year-old tree and a 1,000,000-year-old beach? Between drinking clean water or breathing clean air? Would you make the right choice? Would there be a right choice? Now there's a way to help. Not just one, but all these things. EarthShare, the world's leading environmental groups working together. It's one choice we can all live with.
This ad sponsored by Ad Council and Earthshare.
We are talking about our world today. Oh, and someone's on the line.
Hi, I'm Jacqueline.
Welcome, Jacqueline. How old are you? You sound so young.
I'm 8.
Oh, wow. I assume you're a student, right?
Yes, from Jefferson Elementary. And I have a question.
Sure. And what's your question?
We all know the Earth has 7 continents that currently carry 193 countries. Those continents make up 29% of the Earth's surface, meaning that the vast majority of our planet, 71%, is comprised of water. Taking into consideration man automatically adapts to environmental conditions, why is it that I need to take swimming lessons?
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
From the vantage point, Mafatu saw 6 war canoes drawn upon the beach. But what held the boy's eyes in awful trance were the figures springing and leaping about the flames, darting, shifting, bounding toward the sky. The eaters of men. Cannibals. Firelight glistened on their oiled bodies, on flashing spears and bristling decorations. Mafatu watched the strange scene, powerless to move, and he felt doom itself breathing chill upon his neck. In that very instant, he heard a crashing in the undergrowth. 4 figures were tearing toward him through the jungle. He could see them now. He turned and ran blindly down the trail, slipping, sliding, stumbling, his breath all but choking in his throat. Only one thought gave him courage as he ran. His canoe ready and waiting. If only he could reach it before the savages overtook him. Explore new worlds. Find out what happens next by reading the book Call It Courage by Armstrong Sperry. For other great book ideas, visit literacy.gov.
I'm Laura Lawson, and we are here to inform you about wine. Yes, Kent has continued on his drinking binge in the booth, so we're going to wait one more segment to have Paul, but I'm sure it'll be well worth the
wait.
I'm
not going to be welcome in my mother's house by the time you get through with me.
Well, I have the halo. You must be the devil. You are wearing red today, and you're the one in there talking about drinking. So it doesn't help one way or the other.
I got a little halo in here, too. They changed my lights, too.
You just have a halo because you've been drinking so much Chardonnay. Everything
is
something radiating out
of it. A little glow
about
me, I guess.
Exactly. Hey, this is an interesting article. For those of you who pay attention to the show, well, let me rephrase that. For those of you who occasionally
listen. Yes, 2 or 3 of you out there who actually do.
For those of you who listen to the show halfway, kind of half listening, saying, yeah, you may remember this story. We talked about this, I want to say 3 or 4 months ago. Romani Conti, the famous vineyard in Burgundy, had been threatened by a blackmailer. And the blackmailer had sent this letter, and the letter said, either pay me €1 million or your vines are going to die, we're going to destroy the vineyard. And sure enough, it was followed up by 2 little vines dying in the vineyard. He actually had, I guess, killed them. He murdered. Vine murder. He murdered the vines. Well, they did track this man down. They actually caught him when he went to pick up the ransom for the vines. He was not exactly intelligent enough to send someone else to go get the money. He had it put in the vineyard. He went to pick it up, and shockingly, they were waiting on him to arrest him. Well, he's been in jail this whole time, but actually, as of July 29th, he was in jail in Dijon, Burgundy. The man hanged himself. He finally decided that he couldn't go on with the embarrassment. He didn't want to go on with the fact that he was the one blackmailing Romani Conti. And the article does go on to say that he was getting a whole lot of hate mail and a whole lot of fan mail. It went back and forth. But the poor man decided he was going to end it all so he wouldn't have to listen to it anymore. Now, interestingly enough, his son is still being held in conjunction with the same crime. But talk about getting hung up on wine. That's never a good place to be.
Oh, boy.
Had to give it a shot. Once again, I got a halo today. I'm trying to tarnish it. I'm trying to break that reputation.
We're going
to
change the lights back.
Yes, we need to change the lights back. Hey, anything would be enlightening for a change.
Oh, boy.
I'm off and rolling on that note. Kent's like, please, God, take a phone call so we can hear from someone
else.
Please
do. Please
and
do.
I think we shall. We have Jim from New York on the wine line. Jim, welcome to the Wine Crush.
I'm actually going out to dinner with my wife, and we've been to a number of Italian restaurants, and I always have questions when I look at the wine list. And, you know, I'm pretty familiar with drinking Chiantis and Classico Chiantis and so forth. And you know, but when you get into the list and you see the Barbaras and the other types of red wines on the list, just wanted to get a kind of a brief overview of Italian red wines and basically bodies and so forth.
Well, let's see, if I were a typical Wine Crush listener, what I had taken from that is a man's actually taking his wife Barbara out to dinner. I think that's what I took from the whole thing.
He's confused as he could be. So.
Yes. Is that because your wife is Barbara? Because it's not Barbara. I don't know. Y'all, once again, I apologize. I'm just in a mood today. I'm having fun. All right, Jim, let's start here. Let's help you out. Congratulations on taking your wife out to dinner. I don't know why you phrased the question as you're actually taking your wife out. For the record, Jim's wife, if you were listening, we'd love to hear why and hear the actually part of it, 877-4-CRUSH-1. But, yes, Italian wine lists can be very, very daunting. There is a I won't say famous restaurant chain that traverses the area I cover. It's just very, very well known. And the wine list is broken down by region and DOCG. For those of you who pay attention, these are the different specialized regions, the DOCG, that can dictate how it's aged, how it's bottled, what kind of grapes are in it, and they're a good indication of what you're getting in the bottle. But anyway, this wine list is broken down by the DOCG. It's broken down by region, whether it's Umbria, whether it's Tuscany, whether it's Piemonte. And within there, it's from the town of Asti, it's from the town of Peroni, it's from the town or in the island of Sardinia. And I'm pretty well wine educated. Obviously, I have a radio show. I know something about wine. And every time I go to this restaurant, I cringe because I know everyone I'm having dinner with is going to hand the wine list to me. And the list is complicated and it's complex, and you don't have any benchmarks to go off of. That's how most people probably feel like when they go into an Italian restaurant, because unless you're looking at something like an Olive Garden or a Maggiano's or Carrabba's or something that's nationally known that's going to have Ruffino, Bonfi, Frescobaldi, going to have Antinori, these big names that we all know, you're kind of lost. So I understand your confusion. Let's start here. Chianti is a great place to get comfortable on an Italian wine list. Chianti, Chianti Classical, or any of the seven different regions of Chianti, Colicense, all those areas, absolutely wonderful. But you want to branch out from there. And when you start looking at things, obviously, Jim, if you're a red wine drinker, you're drinking Chianti, look for Rosso's, Rosso di Montalcino, Rosso di Asti. This will tell you at least red wine. And even better, you can look for specifications like that as you go throughout the list, because generally also in Italian restaurants, the wait staff's not too helpful. They can't help you walk through it. Barbara, you mentioned Barbara in your question. This is actually Barbera, and that's an exceptional
selection. I think that was a Freudian slip. I think the woman he's really going out with is Barbara.
Maybe that's why he said actually.
Yeah.
Could be. Ones we have recommended on the show before, Barbera di Asti. A Kelly Chiarlo Barbera di Asti is probably my favorite one out there. And they're just refreshing in the sense that they're not overly oaky. They're fruity. They're easy to drink. They blend well with pretty much any food you're going to be eating that night. And you never want to say they're simple, they're easy, but these wines are. They're just smooth. They're silky. They're luscious. They're very easy drinking. And to explain that, Barbera is actually the grape. Di Asti. D is from, Asti is the town. So that should help you navigate as you go down through that list. Anytime you see D apostrophe and a name behind it, it is from town, from town, from town. The first word is going to tell you what varietal. So hopefully that helps. I hope you enjoy taking Barbara or taking your wife or whoever you go out to dinner, but do give us the results. Let us know what you pick, 877-4-CRUSH-1. We're going to take a small break right here when we return, and we will have Paul joining us to have another opinion on wine, media, and print.
Are you feeling the credit card crunch? Increasing prices and the cost of credit are stretching budgets and preventing people just like you from getting ahead or just catching up with their debts. American Financial Solutions is a nonprofit organization that can help you get back on track with your debts and strengthen your financial situation. We offer a customized debt management plan, not a consolidation loan or a settlement, but a renegotiation of terms with your current creditors. You could benefit from lower interest rates, reduced fees, finally having your past due accounts brought back into current status, and a single monthly payment. So if you're falling behind on your credit cards, medical bills, or accounts and collections, get your current statements together and give American Financial Solutions a call now.
Here's the number for your free debt analysis. 800-793-2153. 800-793-2153. 800-793-2153. Not all services available in all states. Terms and conditions apply.
You've been hearing and seeing good things about Z-Max Microlubricant everywhere, and you're curious, what is Z-Max Microlubricant? Well, it's the only pure microlubricant that penetrates into the metal of your engine to clean out deposit buildup, improve gas mileage, and your engine's performance. Go ahead, get a bottle, add Z-Max to your oil and gas. It's easy to do. Get Z-Max at a retail performance partner near you, and you'll experience a smoother, stronger running, better performing engine. Z-Max it.
Let us wine and dine you. Visit GoPRN.com and enter the Sonoma Wine and Dine Sweepstakes. You could be the winner of a trip for two to Infineon Raceway for the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series race in June 2011. You'll also win two suite tickets, Gold Garage and Pit Passes to the race, plus two round-trip airline tickets, four-night hotel accommodations, a helicopter ride to and from the track, transportation to and from the airport and for the wine tour, dinner in San Francisco, and $5,000 cash. For official rules and to enter, head to GoPRN.com and click on the banner.
Mozart toasties are so very great. Kids rejoice when Mozart's on their plate.
They know they're quite nutritious
and so delicious.
They'll lick the dishes
and soon you realize how impactful your kids' involvement in the arts can be.
They'll get better grades, make more friends, and express their individuality. When they learn to play some music, act or paint or dance or write creatively.
Hot from the toaster and filled with the essential creative thinking skills of an 18th century musical genius, Mozart Toasties are an important part of an arts-healthy childhood. Studies show that involvement in the arts helps kids increase test scores and promotes academic achievement. Feed your kids the arts. For 10 simple ways to learn how, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. The arts. Ask for more. Brought to you by Americans for the Arts, the NAMM Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Well, a plane touched down just about 3 o'clock, and the city's still on my mind.
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. And Kent, I got to take my halo off to you. You have hit like all of my favorite music as bumpers this week. I'm just really, really impressed.
I'm amazed myself.
That means I'm going to wind up with some kind of symphony
next week,
dirge
just
before
wait.
It's all over with.
You've ruined my reputation, so next week, just wait.
Bring it, big boy. I'm ready. All right, enough bantering. We are fortunate right now. We have Paul Grigut. He is the Pacific Northwest editor of Wine Enthusiast Magazine, and he is going to give all of you a break, and we're going to talk about media. Yay. Paul, welcome to the Wine Crush.
Well, Laura, it's a pleasure to be back. Thank you.
It is fun to have you on the show because you're a man of like attention span, and you and I tend to think similarly, which means we can pick on Kent and we can gang up against everyone. We just have fun with this.
Well, I'm sorry I missed the music because what I heard sounded really good.
Yes, he's done a nice job today, which means I'm going to have the worst mess I've ever heard for the next 4 weeks. I should have kept my mouth shut. All right, well, for our listeners, we can't just prattle on like this. Paul, what we have kind of touched on and off today, I mean, Paul, your background is print as far as wine goes. You've written books, you work for Wine Enthusiast Magazine, you write a newspaper column, you do have a blog. My background is wine radio. I am actually an audio contributor to the wine world. As things go digital, as people pull all their information off their computers, as you can take your iPhone and scan a barcode and get information on wine right then, where does that leave us? Are our listeners, are our readers, are they going to abandon us for greener pastures? What happens? What are you seeing and what are the trends?
I think that's a great question. What I'm seeing, it's very interesting. Obviously, we're in a transitional period of time. But as you may or may not know, I worked in high tech and digital media long before there was any such thing as wine blogging. So I'm pretty familiar with that world. What I'm seeing is the evolution and a transition from this division between new media, which would be digital, and old media, which would be, let's say, print or broadcast, into operations such as the Wine Enthusiast that very cleverly combine both.
Of course, being very clever, we would expect nothing less of you and your representation.
As for me personally, you know, yes, my background as far as wine writing is print, it's books, it's magazines, it's newspapers, but I saw the writing on the wall, and I started working on a blog 4 years ago. Now, it took me four different attempts and a lot of failed efforts to get it up, right, and running. And then I jumped into Facebook. Then I jumped into Twitter. And I've explored the social media. The social media is important. It's not either or. It's both.
You know, I think it's fascinating, too. I won't admit to being a techie. I do have to be drugged, kicking and screaming along to the latest new thing. My secretary has to actually update my phone for me. But it is a whole lot harder to get in today's social media and to get into the digital age than most people believe. And I think it's fascinating. You know, we've talked on the show before about people who are doing websites about wine, people who are doing their tweets about wine, and it's not an easy job. How do you keep up with it?
Well, you're right. It's not something you can just do lightly. I think you have to pick your targets. You don't jump in and do everything all at once, because what it takes, two words, consistency and transparency, and that's what characterizes social media. By consistency, I mean you have to be there on a regular basis, preferably at least daily, and more than daily if possible, if it's Twitter and Facebook. And by transparency, I mean you are interacting on a one-on-one, absolutely immediate basis with everybody out there, and they're not going to put up with any kind of fakeness, if you will. They want honesty, directness, and reality.
No, they really, really do, but you kind of maybe have your hands tied as well as I do. I mean, it's kind of a running joke, whether it's my producer or my husband. You know, I need to cut back on my drinking and cut back on my swearing when I'm tweeting or I'm doing something like this. Well, basically, if I do that, I find myself just pretty much tongue-tied and boring. So how do you have the transparency and still come through with your personality?
Oh, that's part of the challenge, Laura. That's really where you have to find your voice. As in any kind of communication, it's all about your voice. And what I've found, and I've worked in radio, television, print, and digital, your voice changes in subtle ways, but the more it's authentically you, the better. Now, if authentically you involves a lot of racy language and opinions that are likely to provoke comment, well, you got to pick your target, you know, put that where it's appropriate, and use the other media in ways that work for you. I use Facebook, for example, to work for me. My friends are not the people I went to high school with. They're people in the wine business. And so I have this broad wine community on Facebook that keeps me informed and engaged.
Yes, you were very kind. You actually friended me. You didn't turn me down, so thank you.
It's my pleasure.
You'd be shocked. Kent turned me down. He won't let me be a friend. But actually, past that, so when you look at something like that, Facebook's a perfect example. We really do have an online wine community. How much can you or how much can the average listener or the average wine person depend on that community for accurate information for something that's up to date and worthwhile?
Yeah, that's you're mining for gold there. It's like, back in California in 1849, you know, you pick your river and you get your pan out and you look for the gold nuggets. That's the hard part. You have to be able to find them. They're there, but they don't always appear, ready to go. You gotta be looking. It does take a lot of time. I'm fortunate because being a writer, I'm at the computer most of the day, every day anyway, so I can flip back and forth to the blog, to the Facebook, to Twitter, and to other people's blogs, and see what's going on. That's my world. That's my office. It's going to be harder for people that have, let's say, quote-unquote, real jobs.
Now, see, I think this is a great, wonderful example because we are on iPod. We are downloadable. Obviously, you can put us on your iPod, the Wine Crush, and listen to us anytime you want to. And for the record, we are the number one downloaded wine show there. So we understand that media around here. I understand this. Now, it's interesting, when I work on a wine blog, I am great when it comes to talking about wine. I can talk about wine all day long, but that's what I do. I talk a lot. Ask Kent. I talk forever. You being a writer, you're really good at the wine blog thing. I've tried to do a blog, and I find it doesn't translate. So how do our listeners, how do people who are truly looking at wine, yes, they can mine all day long. Is it better for them to pick one genre that they like the best? You know, do you like reading blogs? Do you like listening to things? Or can they find the best of all worlds in the digital society? Are they not going to be overwhelmed?
Well, I think your listeners have to, it depends on where they're coming from. If they're consumers that are looking for advice on what to buy, then, yeah, they want to listen to you, and they want to pick a few of perhaps the local blogs that talk to what's available in your area and find people. It's no different than it used to be with just print. You find somebody that's writing about wine, and you can say, yeah, I like their palate. What they say makes sense to me. The wines they recommend work for me. And find those people. It'll take a little bit of digging around. You'll find them and follow them. You can't follow everybody, but there are, the bloggers convention was just in Walla Walla a month ago. 300 bloggers from all over the country. These are talented, committed, dedicated, passionate people. And they you're going to find bloggers wherever you live that are covering the wines that are in your area. So follow them, and if there are some old fogey in print like myself that's still writing a decent wine column in print, you can get it online, follow that. Now, the Wine Enthusiast, I have to put in a short plug here, has a digital edition now on Zinio, Z-I-N-I-O, and you can download a free sample. It's a digital subscription. It'll run on your iPad. And it's the whole magazine, and that is an excellent all-global resource.
Well, that's what we like. And, of course, anytime you want to read about Washington State, find it in touch with Paul. Anytime you want national, of course, we're here for you. But right now, we got to take a quick break. Paul, thank you very much for being part of The Crush. It is always nice to talk to someone else in media and know that we can influence and we have hope and there's a future for all of us.
Thank you, Laura. You are the best.
All right. Take care, Paul. Small break right here, but when we return, we'll wrap the show up and, of course, plan ahead for future editions of The Crush.
Term life insurance. It can be a powerful way to protect your assets and your family. You work hard to earn and save your money to build a nest egg for the future. Don't let it get wiped out because you didn't plan ahead. Take the time now and make a small investment in $500,000 or more in quality term life insurance. Call the Term Lifeline and let us shop the best companies to give you the lowest rates. We specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. Ask about some of our 10 and 20 20-year fixed-rate plans with guaranteed rates. Call the Term Lifeline right now for your free insurance quote. 866-509-TERM. 866-509-TERM. You owe it to yourself to protect your family and your assets. Make Term Life Insurance part of that plan. Call the Term Lifeline right now. 866-509-TERM. 866-509-TERM.
Let us wine and dine you. Visit GoPRN.com and enter the Sonoma Wine and Dine Sweepstakes. You could be the winner of a trip for two to Infineon Raceway for the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series race in June 2011. You'll also win two suite tickets, Gold Garage and pit passes to the race, plus two round-trip airline tickets, four-night hotel accommodations, a helicopter ride to and from the track, transportation to and from the airport and for the wine tour, dinner in San Francisco, and $5,000 cash. For official rules and to enter, head to GoPRN.com and click on the banner.
Don't let your car or truck turn into a clunker. Z-Max it. Z-Max added to your oil and your gas tank can clean internal engine components and fuel systems, reduce engine wear, and give you better mileage. Z-Max is a pure micro-lubricant that gives you a smoother, stronger running, better performing engine. These are some big claims, but they've all been backed up by some of the most rigorous testing in the industry. Z-Max Micro Lubricant, available at your favorite auto parts retailer.
Have you ever dreamed of being a karate master? Well, stop dreaming and start chopping with the Karate Glove.
Hi, my name's Molly, inventor of the Karate Glove, and I have just 1.5 words for you. Hi-ya!
The Karate Glove chops through anything. Just put it on and instantly chop through wood. Hi-ya! Concrete. Hi-ya! Brick walls. Hi-ya! Trees. Hi-ya! Small cars. It can even chop through these 8 guitars.
Hi-ya!
It chops things.
If I can invent a karate glove, just imagine what you can do. Visit InventNow.org to get started on your invention. Anything's possible. Keep thinking.
Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
It's hi-ya time!
You're listening to Wine Crush. I'm Laura Loss, and today we've been bantering around about wine and media and great stories, and I always like it when we take this hodgepodge kind of thing. But I do have one last little thing to leave us with since we've been talking about statistics. I have this article that says, Argentina surpasses Chile in U.S. exports. The head of Chilean Winery Association calls it a fad. Now, we do these statistics, we read these reports, we put all this together so we can have more information at our fingertips. Whether the information is about trends, whether it's about actualities, whether it's about business, whether it's about wine, whether it's knowledge, we take all this information, and the whole point of this is for us to look at it, to process it, and see how it affects us. All right, we look at the fact Americans are drinking more for the first time in 25 years. How does that affect you personally? Does that mean you're drinking more? When you look at Argentina surpassing Chile, does that mean you're drinking more Argentinian wine? Or because of the earthquake, there's more to be had? Remember, any wine information that you encounter needs to be processed by you in perception of you and how you would take that in. Remember, we're all sponges, and we can absorb as much as we want to. It's what eventually gets squeezed out of us that makes a difference, just like that cute little grape. All right, as always here on The Crush, we remind you, sip socially, drink responsibly, drink what you like, not what you're told, but most importantly, in vino veritas, in wine, there is truth. I'm Laura Lawson, and I'll speak with you next week.